absolutely ridiculous on the phone. I've been doing it for about 14 years now. It'll be 15 years next year.
So what made you first start then?
Mental health.
Right. It's good for that, isn't it?
My mum had dementia. Right. My dad passed away a long time ago. And my mum just ended up getting dementia. And I needed an outlet.
Mm.
So I was still living here at the time, but running to and fro to my mum's. And I eventually started, because the only pathway that was there when I first started was the one that went from Trelawney down to Coombe Park Road.
The main one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the which I've renamed as Willow Walk, named after my niece. And that was the only thing that was there. And of course, I had dogs, and I used to walk the dogs through, and I used to cut through everywhere, and there was fallen down trees and everything. And I decided that I would start to clear some of these trees.
Did you have to get permission or anything for that?
Well, this is how it started. I just went down and done it. Somebody reported me for causing criminal damage. So then I had Sword Ash Town Council, Cornwall Council, and the police at the door. Now, I wasn't in a very good place at that time. I was really bad with mental illness, looking after my mum. I had illnesses myself, and I just couldn't handle the fact that I'm trying to do something for the community, and I was being pulled up for it. And in the end, it ended up as a heated kind of discussion. It wasn't an argument, but it was just I said, look, I can't, you know, just go. And anyway, about a week later, a lady from Cornwall Council come, Jenny Heskett, who was then the, or still is, she is the overall seer for all of little places like Coombe Woods throughout Cornwall. And she come up and asked me if I'd like to be a volunteer ranger. And that's basically where it started then. And she said, I've got to get a 10-year plan of what I want to do with it. And if I'm going to continue it.
Do you offer any funding or anything to help?
I don't get any funding from the councils at all. The only thing I do get, which is once a year, is I get Sword Ash Community Fund. And I have to apply for that. And I don't know if you've seen any of the signs down there, the bird signs, the tree signs and that. There's, on some of them, is marked from Sword Ash Town Community Fund.
Yeah, I saw that on the, was it on the bench?
Yeah. So they provided me with the money for the actual plaques, but everything else down there is self-funded. So I, like this year, I've been selling reindeers, bird boxes, like every year I just make different things and sell them. And of course, I put all the fairy houses and all that down there. I've got a load of them in my shed at the moment.
So do you work up here then and you take it down there?
I do everything from my sheds.
Because you've got no shed down there at all, have you?
No, I've got nothing down
there. Isn't that difficult?
Not really, because I mean, I only walk.
All right. Oh, yeah, I forget there's a cut through.
Yeah.
So that just takes you to the top of the wood then, doesn't it?
Literally, I've got about 3 minutes, even less, to walk from my gate and I'm in the woods. So. But yeah, I drew out an initial plan of what I wanted to do, and then I had to send it to the council so they know what I'm doing down there. It started off with just clearing certain places.
Did you start off with like the edgings? I remember
that. Yeah, well, that occurred because I wanted to put certain pathways in, and the only way I could define the pathways was to clear everything, and as I was clearing it, to put it on to the edge of a pathway, and then that defined.
So you were using what you were clearing.
So everything. There is nothing that comes out of the woods as regard to foliage or anything like that. It all goes back into the woods.
That's really good,
isn't it? If I cut or coppice trees, then the long straight bits then go into make hedges, and then I rewind. At the moment, I haven't actually done anything for a little while, weather-wise. I'm now a Sword Ash Town Councillor as well. But I've got a lot to do down there too.
I suppose it all needs maintaining, all those kind of edges, don't they?
And I'm making live hedges, but live hedges are one of these things that actually takes 3-5 years to bend everything down, to fold it all down, to clip it together. I was using zip ties to clip everything in, but now I've got other things. I use willow twigs and that to tie things in, so everything is natural.
You want to say hello, don't you?
Get in.
So, have you got anybody to help you? Is it all just you?
No, it's all just me.
Wow.
Does
that not make it difficult sometimes? Because you need like an extra pair of hands.
Sometimes I can call on friends. Sometimes I call on my brother-in-law. Sometimes I call on a friend or two that live down Trelawney if they're not working or.
Because you can, like the bird boxes, you need health and safety, don't you?
The bird boxes, it takes three people. So you've got one up the ladder, one holding the ladder, and one passing up all the drills and the boxes and that to do. So we do all that. I'm not allowed to use chainsaws. So a lot of stuff actually is done by bosal. I've got loads of different size bosals. If I want, there's been several trees that have fallen down, and if they're dangerous, then the council come in and literally cut them down with all their chainsaws, and I ask them if they can leave them at certain lengths and whatever, and then for personal use I can go down and use a chainsaw to cut those up. I've actually made out of one of the trees that fell down, I've made a sculpture which is actually on show down at Ashtore Rock at the moment.
Wow.
And that's made
You didn't do the ones that were outside, did you? They're not made of wood, the ones outside, are they?
Outside
of Ashtore, you know the
ones? No, I didn't do those. But that, all of that, every bit of it is made from one tree.
Wow.
That come down. It's cherry. It's ornamental
it's
cherry.
It's a lovely colour, isn't it?
Well, it's actually stained. The dark brown is a rugger brown. That's not a stain, it's a wax. It's a rugger brown wax. And the other side is a natural beeswax. And then it's all been beeswaxed over.
You can see
over.
The grain, can't you?
Even the steel that is holding it in was found down the woods. And it's called the family. So it has a name, and it took me 8 years to make that.
That must have been, like, at the end, you must have been so relieved.
Oh, yeah, Lovely, but that these are some of the things that I make.
I think I've seen some of those that down there.
Yeah. Well, you won't see these down here.
There are similar ones.
There are a couple down there, but these are the ones I make to sell to get funding and things for the woods. Because obviously I have to make, although I've got the signs in that inn, I've got to get the wood and the met posts to put them all in. So I've got to financially do all that. But 90% of everything down there is all done by hand.
Yeah.
Just by me. That's why I've got all this carpal tunnel through holding everything down.
Because, I mean, you must have been down there in some awful weather and you still just carry on regardless.
I've been down there in the snow. I don't do that much in the rain.
No,
because there's not that much. Unless, of course, there's a couple of natural springs that come up if it's very, very wet. There's a couple of natural springs that come up that I've got to clear because they come up inside the fences and run through over the pathways. So I've got to clear those.
Yeah.
But other than that, in the rain, I don't tend to go down.
When I went yesterday, I went down and it looked really dry. The the stream was really quite. There's not as much water in there. You're naughty, aren't you? Get
down, Mimi. Down.
Yeah, because I mean, sometimes it's really quite fierce down there, isn't it?
Yes. Get in there.
Say hello.
Because of when. That actual stream is man-made.
Is it?
It was made many years ago. It actually, the start of it comes out under B&M Motors. St. Stephen's Road, you know where I stand?
Yeah.
You got the van showroom there now.
Yeah.
The start of it comes out underneath there.
Just below there, they had a garage under there, didn't
they? It comes from Warfelton Field. Warfelton Field has got a land drain in it, which is shaped like that, filled with rubble and that, and all the water from Warfelton Field drains into a pipe that comes right down Warrington Road, comes out underneath of B&M Motors, and then goes all the way down.
Yeah.
And it was man-made many, many years ago. So it is all a man-made thing. There used to be, halfway up, there used to be a bridge there about 25, maybe 30 years ago that come from one side of the stream to the other. But that one got burnt down. Then it was replaced and that was burnt down. So I'm trying... I'm in contact with the council at the moment. It's taken me, well, all this time. I would say about 10 years to try and get that reinstated. The problem is money, health and safety, and me being able to get finances as well so that it's me and the council to do it. But they will only allow it if their architects and planning people plan it all out, because there's a lot of erosion down there on this particular place. So it's taken a long time, but I will get it in eventually.
Looks like it's a never-ending project down there, really.
Oh, it is never-ending.
Do you think you're just going to be doing it forever?
I do, yeah. I love it. I absolutely love it down there.
When you're down there, there's just so many different things to see. It just completely takes you away from everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's just a complete escape.
I walk in places that other people don't walk. Like yesterday, while I was bringing up some of the fairy houses, I thought, oh, I'll just have a little walk around. And I've actually got pink primroses out the moment.
Oh, lovely.
Down there. There's only about three places that there are pink primroses. All the rest are white.
Yeah.
with the help of all of the schools, there's 670,000 bulbs
wow.
been planted in the last 14 years.
Wow.
So
that's
you go
good,
down
isn't
in
it?
The spring and now you'll find that there are lots of other places now where daffodils, tulips, bluebells,
yeah.
snowdrops.
I saw the daffodils last year.
But there's a lot more. And I actually work the clearings out on a 5-year cycle.
Mm.
So I'll do a complete clearing, then it'll be left completely then for 5 years.
Yeah.
And maybe even 6 or 7, depending on if I can get back or if I've got other
So have you got a big plan so that you can see where everything is?
I initially, the council have a plan of what I wanted to do. There won't be any more pathways put in.
Mm.
So all the pathways that are there now, how long would you think they are?
Oh, I don't know. I walked around quite a lot of them yesterday because I was taking photos. I've got no idea.
Well, I've measured every path, started from one datum, and have measured every path, and they're less than a mile.
Really? Is that all?
You can walk every pathway,
wow.
and you have walked less than a mile.
Hmm.
So there's not that much, but it takes you a lot longer.
Yeah.
To
yeah, because I mean, some of it's steep, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, some of it's steep. There's places where you've obviously got the roots coming over the pathways and that. The pathways have just been planned to keep away from. On one side of the river, I've got foxes. On the other side of the river, I've got badgers.
Oh, really?
And they both go down to the rivers at
yeah.
different places. You can see in the spring and the summer where they cut through and make pathways to go down to the water to drink
yeah.
and to get that. Cornwall as a whole have lost 50 bird species, about 7 or 8 bee species and that. But since I've been doing the woods, I've noticed that the birds and the bees and other species have come back to the woods.
That's good, isn't it?
So now I've got jays down there, which I didn't have before. I've got buzzards down there. I've got owls,
really?
Which I've always had owls, but now they seem to be a few more owls down there.
Yeah.
I've got 2 different kinds of woodpeckers.
Have you? I've never seen a woodpecker.
Down there.
Have you got? Have you ever seen a kingfisher down there?
No.
Oh, that's one I'd
the
like
reason,
to see.
The reason... Years ago, I built a pond right down the very bottom, and I had it there for about 7 years. Mimi,
oh,
I had
cheeky,
it there for about
you?
7 years. Yes, get in your bed. Not everybody wants to be loving, darling. I know. But I kept it there for about 7 years, but it kept getting silted up.
Mm. You are a cheeky madam, aren't you? Get yourself
so,
down. Get yourself down. Get down. Get down.
You'll end up falling off. Sit there. You stay. It ended up silting up, and I used to spend about 2 or 3 weeks with a shovel down there, digging it all out. It was initially to get kingfishers in there, because years ago there used to be kingfishers.
Mm.
I think they will come back, but I think they'll come back of their own accord.
Yeah, I've heard that there are some down, you know, the little outlet that goes into, down at the salt mill, it goes into,
yeah,
down there.
goes into there, there
yeah.
probably are. But I've been unsuccessful with kingfishers so far. I've had some egrets nesting
yeah.
Down there. There's lots of squirrels and things.
Yeah, I've seen squirrels down
there. Yeah, got buzzards down there now because I've cleared. Because buzzards, they will hover and come down and get things. And now that there's clear space for them, they are now coming over. There's still loads and loads that I've got to do down there. It's going to take me, well, all of my life.
I suppose it's nice to have something that's like ongoing, isn't it?
The thing that upsets me a little bit is that I can't get anybody interested in helping and taking on, because I'm getting on a bit now, and whereas when I started, although I've still got the enthusiasm, I haven't got the strength now to just carry on with doing things, and I need somebody a lot younger that I can train. I would love to get somebody to train, but because it's a voluntary job and there is no pay, you can't get anybody interested in doing the job, as I call it, because it is a job, really, that the only pay is satisfaction.
Yeah, you really need like an apprentice or something, don't you?
Yeah, and if I could get somebody like that, it would be absolutely fantastic. Again, they could also bring in new ideas of how to get more funding. And, you know, to talk. I've had several people come down and actually help me. Young girl over the road, Bryony. She was unemployed for a while and she come down and helped me, but unfortunately, or fortunately for her, she's now gone into nursing, so she's working as a nurse now, but I've lost a helper. I've had a couple of people come down and they've basically said, nah, it's just too hard for, they say no reward, but I think it is so rewarding that you can do 10 yards of a pathway in a day and build it up and think, well, yeah, you know, that's going to be a home for an amphibian, a little dunnock or a robin or something that may make its nest in there, although there are lots of birds' nests up. Bird boxes up down there of various sizes.
Do you know how many bird boxes you've got in there?
Yep.
How many? Is it hundreds?
No, 68.
68. And I bet it's taken you years to put all those up, isn't it?
No. I started off with 5 or 6 just put up just out of curiosity. And it took 3 of us, 3 days to put up the whole 68, and that's taking down the ones that were there and replacing them if they needed replacing, or just cleaning them out from use from the previous season. So I will start that in January or February, where I'll go round next year and clean out and look in all of the bird houses that I've got, replace, renew as need be. So it'll probably take a while. It's going to take 3 of us again, so it's actually trying to get everybody together to do all the bird boxes and to check them. But I think out of the 68 that are up, I probably had 40% occupation this year.
That's good.
Because it takes a while for them to get used to the boxes. So hopefully the young from this year will come back again and repopulate, which is what is happening. The,
what,
woods are getting repopulated.
It would be really good if you'd got like a little hide or something that you could go and view things at night, so that you could see what was going on, maybe record it even.
It would be. I've had several people ask if I could put up cameras and that up there, but I've got to abide by Cornwall Council laws and rules, and due to if I have cameras, it's breaking up public space and
personal and
all personal. Even if I've got them pointed at bird boxes, even if they're up high, if somebody just happens to walk past and they're seen on a camera, it's personal invasion.
Yeah, but I mean, what about, you know, CCTV everywhere?
Reading a book at the moment, there's more CCTV in London than there is anywhere else in the world.
Yeah.
So wherever you go in London, you're on CCTV. Yeah. You could make your own film in there. But in Saltash Town, they've got CCTV cameras and that, but that is mainly for security and that at night from people coming out of pubs and things like that. But they've still got to abide by the laws and the rules. So there's nothing held, I don't think, over a certain period of time. It all gets deleted and then, you know, restarted. So I'm not allowed to have any of that down there.
That's a shame, because, you know, I think that would pull people in if they knew that they could come in and watch things.
Yeah,
I know you've got the vandalism thing to worry about as well, but I think if you've got something to draw more people in, I think some people would really, you know, especially animal enthusiasts would really like that.
When I first started this project and I went on to Facebook and that, I had 5, maybe 6 people following Coombwoods. At the moment, I've got just over 2,500. And during the lockdown, the first lockdown, I probably had about maybe 300, 400 people on my Facebook. But when the lockdown started, people, through word of mouth, would tell other people. And as I said, now I've got about 2,500 on Facebook. I update it occasionally, but most of the people that go round and that are what I call the local people. They're the people who go round there all the time. There's dog walkers that go round. And I don't have much problem with people with dog poo and that. Mostly, 98% of them pick it up.
Yeah.
But I go round once a day anyway, because I take my dogs out, and if there is anything, I pick it up anyway.
Yeah.
When I first started doing that, I was picking up needles, I was picking up, I used to pick up probably 2, maybe 3 black bags of rubbish a day.
Wow.
There were mattresses, there were bikes, there were car parts, tires, wheels, everything. But now, I'm lucky if I pick up a chocolate wrapper, because most people
respect it.
Are now respecting the fact that there's a lot of hard work gone in there, and a lot of families take their children down and that.
Yeah, I've seen lots of children down there looking at the fairy houses. Yeah. So, do you have like whole classes come down from school to do things?
I get. The biggest class I've had is 36, and that was
that must have been a health and safety nightmare for them.
That was from Brunel. That was Miss Cabello, and 2 teachers and 3 parents.
Wow! Can you remember what age group they were? Not the tiny ones.
seven.
Yeah, well, not too
7 year olds. Mm. So I try and get the them interested young, but they've got to be old enough to understand, but young enough to be able to plant bulbs. Yeah. Although they will plant probably 1,000 in an hour.
Wow.
And I go round once they've all left and gone back home. I then go over the place where they've done, and there's probably 30 or 40 bulbs that they just cover over and that. But that's all part of the fun.
Them learning, isn't it? And do they come back and then see it when it's grown?
Miss Cabello is bringing them all back, the same as from Bishop Cornish and St Stephen's. They once they're planted, they know the areas that have been planted, and they then come back in the spring and look over all the areas that they've planted, as well as looking everything else, because all of the primaries have all got forest schools or green space or ecological or environmental things nowadays. So they do bring them all.
Oh, that's good. Get them involved and interested.
So it gets them involved. Mm. It's the teenagers. It's not the ones from Salt Ash that cause the vandalism. It's ones that come over from Plymouth. Because, as you know, I'm a lollipop man. I know a lot of the kids that pass me. I know their faces. I've been doing lollipopping 6 years now, so the ones that were in the primaries then are passing me now and gradually going up. So I know a lot of them, and a lot of them, it is respect, I think, because they know now that I'm, you know, I'm there, and they know, they see me down the woods, and I see them down the woods. So, and it is respect, and they're pretty good. So last year I had a spate of every fairy house that was down there was damaged. I had 10 down there, and every one was damaged. And that was because of people coming over from Subbudo. And they were actually caught. The police caught them.
Oh, that's good. So, well, at least that's something.
It was something, but all they got was a warning. So it did frighten them a bit, though, because they were caught on the beach at Coombe, and they were lighting fires under trees and that as well. So they got caught, and they were warned. Again, I mean, there's nothing I can do unless I actually catch them on video with them.
I think most of the kids around here are okay. There's always going to be the odd bad penny, isn't there? But most of them are pretty good around here.
There's always going to be a bad penny, but again, for every bad one, you've got maybe three or four that are with him, that, or her, or them, that will say, look, I don't think you should be doing that. We know the person, because I have had people from Weird School come down with Mr. Oakes and actually see and work with me for half a day. And I've picked a specific place for them to work at to show how hard it actually is to do the job and to maintain everything that's in. So they do appreciate how hard it is, and hopefully they've passed it on to other people. So we shall see. It's been pretty good this year. I'm at no trouble down there this year. Touch wood. So apart from me obviously bringing them all up now and it's, cleaning them all up.
It is. When I went down yesterday, it's a bit bare at this time of year, isn't it?
It is bare at this time of the year, but there are still things to look out for. You've got all the different funguses. You've got the what I call the Jew's ears, the tiny little red ones that look like ears. You've got all the other... There is more fungus down there now than I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You've got all the sulfur caps, the yellow sulfur, the purple sulfur. That's actually my next project for putting on plaques, is to get all the different funguses. I've already got the books for it. And of course, I walk around quite regularly with a book and try and name.
Yeah, because there are thousands, aren't there?
There are thousands of them. I've got quite a variety of fungus in. I've got birds and trees in at the moment, and the mats. Mm. The mats are pretty good, but there are a couple of them that should have been on the left-hand side and not the right-hand side, because they actually look upside down. But
So in that, you've got some in the little black and white things. You've planted some small saplings. What are in those?
I've planted in those that are down the bottom. They're actually Scots pine.
Right.
They're, none of them have taken.
Oh, that's
a problem,
isn't it?
I planted 30 odd. They were about that big when I put them in, and none of them have taken. I don't think the soil is any good. About 5 years ago, my daughter Isabel got in contact with Woodland Trust, and I had 3,500 saplings.
Wow.
Oak, hawthorn, blackthorn, hazel, silver birch, beech, rowan. Oak, but I had 3,500 of them, and I would say out of the 3,500 I've probably got maybe 1,200 that have taken. Most of the hazel has taken, because I, and most of the blackthorn and hawthorn have taken, because I intend to make live hedges of them. So I've planted them 2 or 3 deep, so that when they get big enough to fold them all down. But when I had them, they were only about a foot high, so you expect to lose a lot. Some of the oak have come up, couple of the rowans have come up. So out of the ones that were put in, I've got quite a few. Oh, cherry was another one, and I've got quite a few ornamental cherries that have come up, but I've moved them from where they were. So there used to be a big patch of cherry down one end, and I decided, well, I need cherry all over the place, so I've planted cherry in different places. Dog rose is another one, or dogwood is another one that I've planted in as well. It's just all ones that the Woodland Trust recommend for woodlands. So I planted all those in as well.
So I bet in another 10 years' time it's going to look completely different again, isn't it?
It looks different every year.
Mm.
There's been a lot of damage as regard to the winds and that.
Yeah.
But and ash dieback. I'm having so much problem with ash dieback, but it's everybody that's having problems. The big ones seem to be okay, but the smaller ones only grow to about 4 or 5 feet, and then it just ends up there's a stick. So I go round every year and I've got to pull them. The thing with the ash dieback is that you'll never actually get rid of it. It's like the elm disease, where they had to burn it all and that, but then they found when they were burning it, the spores were still coming out. So the ash, I just pull and it goes into hedges and things like that. Although there's where you see the hedges today, they were probably put in 3 or 4 years ago in some places that stood maybe 2.5-3 foot high, but because it's all vegetation, it rots down.
Yeah.
And because it rots down, it then gives more nutrients to the soil. It gives home to all the insects, which, because there's insects, then you've got the amphibians. Mm. There's more frogs, toads, newts down there now. Because you've got all of that, you've got all of the birds coming back. And because you've got the birds coming back, everything goes around in a circle. Yeah. And as I said at the beginning, it's become now a big eco place down there, where there are far more birds and animals down there now than there was when I started.
Yeah.
There's also a couple of wildflower places planted down there. They aren't doing too well, but they need tending again, so we'll have to tend them. I've got a load of seed in the shed that needs to go out, so they'll be going out next year.
So what's your next job to do then?
Bit of everything, really.
You must arrive then, think what, where to start.
That's the thing, because I'm walking around with the dogs daily. At this time of the year, it's pretty bare, as you say. So I kind of look at a place and think, well, I haven't done that for a while. Down where the village is, down the bottom, just above the village, that area up there hasn't been touched at all between Babbitt's Farm and Coombe Park Road. None of that has been touched because it's on such a slope.
Mm.
But there are lots of self-seeded sycamore that's in there.
Mm.
And I want to take out, probably, if there's 10 in a patch, I'll take 9 out and leave 1 to grow, because they're just going to be too much of a thicket there otherwise. And then clear the area, because that will probably be one of the next areas to be planted in there. But it's very difficult as well, because you've got all the sewage and things that go through underneath. Mm. So you've always got to be careful of what's under the ground, as well as what's on the ground. There's a couple of big dead trees that are there that need to come down.
Mm.
But again, you can't take everything down, because the woodpeckers use the dead trees to hide, to feed. They take the barks off and that. So you've always got to be mindful of what birds use the trees. And you know, if you took down every dead tree, you probably wouldn't have as much life. Because you got the chiggywigs or woodlice that live in them. You've got all the everything else that lives under the bark that the birds.
It's like its own little ecosystem, isn't it?
It is its own ecosystem. Mm. And down there, it's ecosystem in itself. Yeah. You go into some places down there and you think, oh my goodness. The only thing I do take out regularly is the laurel.
Mm.
I take that out because that will grow and grow and grow. Yeah. So probably about every 5 years or so, that is taken right down.
Yeah, they're growing mad, don't they?
But it just regrows anyway, and you can't take it out. And I take some of the bays out as well, because the bays are the same.
Mm.
I think I've got 6 or 7 yew trees down there. Some of them are only about 5 or 6 feet tall, but they're probably 50 or 60 years old, because a yew tree takes years to grow. At the moment, you can see they've got probably 1/2 inch of growth on the ends of them. So every couple of years they grow about 1/2 inch on the ends and spread out, but they don't go upwards. And they're the root balls and that grow bigger. So I try and keep the yew trees going. I've got to take out a hazel, which is right next to a yew tree actually, and coppice that one down.
How do you learn how to do all this? Do you read it all in books, or is it just...
I either go online or read it in books, because I'm a great reader.
Yeah.
And I learn all the live hedges and that I've learned by basically reading a book.
Yeah.
And then, as they say, practice makes perfect.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get it wrong.
Mm.
But then you learn from your mistakes, and then you've got to rethink and redo it. But a lot of it is reading, and that I've had no tuition. Nobody's taught me how to do it.
It's just a lifetime of learning it.
It is a lifetime of learning. I mean, I was brought up in Saltash. I was brought up down Lower Estate, and all of where Salt Mill is now, that was actually started the year I was born, in 1958. So I've seen that place from, it was quite a few feet long when I first started then. But we used to get all our bikes, our trolleys, wheels. That was our playground when we were young. And then we used to walk along the beaches and go out to what we called First Woods, Second Woods, Third Woods, all out there. So I learned all of my stuff out there by chopping down trees, making bows and arrows. Kids don't do that these days.
They don't do anything like that, do they?
They don't do anything like that at
all. Oh, it's all exercising the thumbs, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the old Xbox.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And to get anybody interested down there, I've put it on Facebook. I need somebody who's got the enthusiasm and who wants to do it. I've asked for people to come down that are on probation or that are under the police or some way or another.
You want somebody like that's got to do community service or
community
something.
Community service. But I've asked that, and because for every person that they bring down on community service, they've got to have two people with them as well as me. So if one person on community service comes down to help me, then they've got to have two guards in case they...
Couldn't they just do the work as well?
Yeah, but then if they're looking at something else, and this bloke Scarper's, it's there. Yeah. So they've got rules, and I can understand their rules, but sometimes I think their rules are a bit kind of overwhelming in some cases.
Oh, it's red tape everywhere you look.
It is red tape everywhere. And I've asked for people to come down. I said it would be absolutely fantastic. What's it called? Simon Wengard, I think. He looks after troublesome teenagers.
Right.
And he's asked if I could take some of them down into the woods to get help. And I've said, yeah, I'd love it. He has actually then approached the council, and the council have said, no, you can't do it. And it's all red tape. So that's what I'm fighting against. So I need somebody who's enthusiastic, who doesn't mind not being paid, who doesn't mind working hard, and is prepared to learn what I can teach them.
If you found somebody, would you still have to get permission from the council then?
If somebody, I can have somebody help me for a couple of weeks without informing the council. But if they are interested and they want to do it as a voluntary full-time job, I've then got to inform the council, because they have then, it goes on to the council's insurance.
Yeah.
So if they want to go down by themselves, they're insured to do it. Because otherwise, they could be, like I was, accused of causing criminal damage.
Yeah.
So it's a fine line between causing criminal damage and actually being a ranger and in charge of doing something down there.
Postman?
No, postman's been. So it's got to be either my wife coming back, my daughter coming back, or somebody just walking past. Probably somebody just walking past, knowing him.
Well, I mean, I'll write this up and do maybe a little film. And so that will just go on to the student website for my project. But if it's any good, then I'll share it with you. And maybe we can see...
What do you mean, if it's any good? Be positive in yourself, Lucy.
But maybe we could share it further.
Have you seen the film that's...
I've seen the ones that are on Facebook.
There was one made by Julian... I can't think of his last name. There was one made by Julian, a professional film, actually, of Coombe Woods. I don't think I've got it on this phone, because I've had to change my phone.
Do you know what platform did he put it on? Was it on Facebook?
It was on Coombe Woods. It was on Coombe Woods page. So it would probably still be on Coombe Woods page because it was a promotional one that I used. But he's a professional producer and he was doing it for the co-op to actually try and get funding for me. But it didn't actually work as... getting funding because the council vetoed it, or it was just I couldn't get the funding anyway. But anyway, it was a brilliant film. You want to have a look at it? It's on Coombe Woods Regeneration Project Facebook page, and it's quite a good film.
Okay.
Shows me, and it got an interview with me in the shed and things, but I sound so Cornish.
And that's nothing wrong with that.
Well, it is when you're actually listening back to yourself.
Yeah, but I mean, when you listen to yourself, it's horrible anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, it's terrible for me.
Well, I have to do it, because I did an interview last week, which was with a couple about the pool closure, and so there's me asking questions, and it makes you cringe, but I've got to do this.
Yeah, you've got to do it. So, I mean, I've got lots of things in the pipeline that I want to do, and it's only since I've actually been getting older that I've got more confidence in myself. I still suffer badly from depression, anxiety, and I've literally got to get myself going. And it's only this last few years that I've decided that I'm going to go for counsel and I'm going to do more. Because I think now, well, why not? And if I can't do it now, I'm never going to do it. So now is the time to...
It's like me being at university at age 53.
Yeah. Well, you're 10 years younger than I am.
But I'm still like the oldest in the class by a good 30 years.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, if it's what you want to do, you do it.
Yeah.
Regardless. I mean, as you say, you've got a family. And, you know, you've got to do it. Because if you don't do it, you never will. And you'll look back and say, well, why didn't I do that?
Yeah.
Whereas... Oh, he's off.
Right, okay. Well, thank you very much.